thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Today's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, as I said earlier, the crowd shouts out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That comes straight out of Psalm 118. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 118. If you have your Bibles with you, let us all rise and read God's word. Hear the word of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks. I'll give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Father in heaven, we thank you for this song that we get to sing today, Lord God. Father, as we look at your word today, would you draw us closer to you? May we experience your love, and may you transform us from the inside out, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So it's Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday was, I guess, like a parade. I don't know if many of you participated in the Spirit of Beacon Parade. That was kind of like a fun time. And we were on a truck, and Josue was on the truck playing his guitar, singing a song. And it was funny because we were talking about it, and he's like, "I don't know, I feel like I shouldn't." He just sang one song over and over again. A few. I only remember one song. And it sounded like he was singing it over and over again. But it was fine because we were going down Main Street. So not everybody knows that he was singing the same song over and over again. So I thought that was actually an effective approach, singing the same song over and over again, because we're singing the same message, right? And the song that people were singing is, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So that was the parade. And why were they singing Hosanna when Jesus came in? Because the people were oppressed. They were oppressed by the Roman Empire, and they wanted God to send somebody to save them. And so they were looking for this warrior king to come, someone like David, to come and rescue them. And so when they saw Jesus as king to come, they were shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they had an idea that this king is going to be like David. And so they're telling God, this is what we want. This is what we want. And so we see that in Matthew 21. It says, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. So save us to the Son of David. They were looking for a mighty king like David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So that's what they were singing. That's what they were shouting. And of course, we just read that, but that comes directly out of Psalm 118, 25 and 26a. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Lord, save us is Hosanna. So Hosanna, that's what Lord, save us means. That's what Hosanna means, Lord, save us. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Psalm 118 is the song that they were singing. And so we're going to be looking at that. And this psalm is the most referred psalm in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it is either directly quoted or referred to 23 times. So it's a very popular psalm. It's an Egyptian, part of the Egyptian Hallel psalms as well. So Psalm 113 through 118 are the Egyptian Hallel psalms, where they are where they're singing about God's deliverance when God delivered the people out of Egypt. And if you were here yesterday for the women's breakfast, I believe Margaret talked all about it, right? And so even Jesus' Last Supper, afterwards, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So after his Last Supper, the last hymn that they would have sung would have been the last psalm of the Hallel Psalms, which is Psalm 118. So one commentator said this, this psalm then was a hymn that Jesus and the disciples sang in the upper room after the Last Supper, right before Jesus was arrested. The last song he sang was Psalm 118. Okay, so let's keep that in mind as we look at this hymn. Verse 1 starts out by saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Now that's a confession of sorts, and it's also telling the people that let's give thanks to God. And every Thanksgiving, I try to do this exercise of giving thanks to God. And usually when you thank somebody, it's usually because they gave you something, right? It's easy to thank somebody when you get a gift, right? Oh, thank you for the gift that you gave me. But sometimes what I like to do is, let's not think about what God has given us. But let's thank God for who he is. Did you ever try that exercise? Thanking God for who he is. And that's not as easy to do. And here, this text is teaching us, well, here's one way you could thank God for who he is. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. And his love endures forever. Okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is mentioned many times in the Old Testament. Did you know that? For God is good, and his love endures forever. Here's one instance in 2 Chronicles. It says the trumpeters and the music, this is at the dedication of the temple. He is good, his love endures forever. It's also mentioned in 1 Chronicles. It was David's song when the ark was brought to Jerusalem. They sang, the Lord is good, his love endures forever. After Solomon prayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, same, he is good, his love endures forever. Also later on in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when King Jehoshaphat appointed singers to go ahead of the army in battle. So not just at temple dedications, not just when the ark was brought back, but also when they're about to face battle. What did they sing? God is good, and his love endures forever. In Ezra, when they were laying the foundation of the second temple, the people cried out, God is good, and his love endures forever. And also in Jeremiah 33, there was a prophecy about the restoration of Jerusalem. It also says, God is good, and his love endures forever. And this phrase is also found in Psalm 106, Psalm 107, and Psalm 136. So this is mentioned many, many times. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. As a matter of fact, this psalm begins with that, and it also ends the same way. In verse 29, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So whether we are facing a battle, whether we have an occasion to give thanks, or building, God's building, we get to do what God calls us to do. What is this verse reminding us to say? It's reminding us to say that God is good and his love endures forever. And that love is hesed love. It's the covenant love that God has for his people. So the problem that many of us have is, well, is God really good? Right? Is God good? Can you say that God's good when you've lost your job? Can you say that God is good when you are late for a meeting and you get a flat tire? Can you say God is good when a family member is diagnosed with a disease? Can you say God is good when you don't have enough money to pay? When life is so hard, can you say God is good? It would have almost been better if the verse said, for God is great. Right? For God is great. God is powerful. God is almighty, and his love endures forever. But no, that's not what the text says. The text says over and over again that God is good, and his love endures forever. When the people of Israel were shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were looking for a king like David that would come and just squash the Romans, liberate them. That's the king that they were looking for. Did they get what they were looking for in Jesus? No. They got Jesus riding on a donkey. And he came in, what? He came in to die. That's not a warrior king. So how can we say that God is good? I get that question a lot as a pastor. Oh, if God is good, why is there so much evil in the world? If God is good, why do bad things happen to good people? And that's a question that a lot of us wrestle with. It's easy to say that God is good when things are going well. God is good, yes. You know, I got a promotion. God is good. My kids are healthy. God is good. But my life is falling apart. Can you say God is good? God is good. That's who he is. And that's the reminder of the song. That's why a song like this is so important for us to sing. There's not enough songs that say he is good and his love endures forever. But that's what we need to remember, that God is good. Why is God good? Because he doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And what did we need? We needed a king to come to die for us, to conquer not the Romans, but to conquer sin and death. That's what we needed. And that's why God is good. So if things aren't going your way, look to God and remember that he is good. And he is the only one that we need to trust. Amen? He is trustworthy. He is good. He gives us what we need and not what we want. And the goodness of God doesn't mean life will be easy. But it means he is trustworthy. And then the verse 2-4 continues. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. His covenant love endures forever. So let Israel say this. Let the nation of Israel say this. Let the house of Aaron say. So let the Levites and the priests say, his love endures forever. And then in verse 4, it says, let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. So who is included in those who fear the Lord? All of us. Right? The Gentiles are included as well. So basically, what is the psalm saying? Verses 1-4. Is the Lord is good? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. All of Israel say, his love endures forever. All the priests say, his love endures forever. All who fear God, you and me say, his love endures forever. His covenant love endures forever. He'll never forsake you. That's the promise of God. He will never forsake you. No matter how unfaithful we are, he will not forsake his people. Isn't that good news? God is good, and his love endures forever. And if we can remember that, then that's a home run for me. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. I feel a song coming. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. Let's say it. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. And then he talks about when he was pressed, hard pressed, when he was distressed, I cried out and he brought me into a spacious place. Isn't that neat? Right? He answers prayers. What does crying out to the Lord mean? And when he listens to our cry. Sometimes you feel like, I've been praying the same prayer over and over again, and I feel like God is just not listening. He is listening because he is good and his love endures forever. Also, he says, the Lord is with me. And if God is with us, who could stand against us, right? I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So just having the proper perspective. Sometimes we're just so wrapped around in what's happening in our lives, we forget to see the big picture. We forget to see what God is doing. We forget that God is good. We forget that God and his love endures forever. We forget that he is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So you are not alone. Not only is he with you, he is also your helper. And it says here, I look in triumph on my enemies. So you're going to win. God is on your side. You don't have to work so hard. Just trust. You see the call to trust in God. Don't trust in you. That's my biggest failure, is I always trust in me. Right? And I always realize how inadequate I am. But God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, almighty God is with you. The all-powerful, almighty God is your helper. Just that alone should allow us to break out in a song, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And because of that, he calls on us to not trust in humans, but to trust in God. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. That's a reminder for me, and that's a reminder for all of us. People will fail you. No matter how close you are, people will fail you. There are some people that you may think you're your blood brothers or blood sisters, and nothing can come between us. Oh, yes. Something can come between you. You may think your bond will not be broken with your best friend, but all it takes is one little incident, and all of a sudden you're enemies. Sometimes we trust too much, even in our own community here at church, instead of God. We're trusting in one another. You know, we can do this for God. We always like to add that, for God, right? We want to do something. Let's start a business together for God. We'll make lots of money for God, right? But sometimes that for God is really not true. It's really for you. But you kind of want God to bless you. So he's like, all right, well, we're going to do this for God. But when you really peel the onion of your heart, right, when you really look at the core, a lot of times the things that we're doing is for us, it's for me. Right? But it sounds holier when you say, oh, I'm doing this for God. My business is for God. Then why do you call it my business? Right? Yeah. Everything I have is for God. You mean everything God has? Is for you, right? So we have to really be honest with ourselves. Do we really trust God, or do we trust others? Do we really trust God, or are we trusting our spouses? Do we really trust God, or are we trusting our best friend, or our neighbors, or our bosses? You know, how many times have your boss failed you? I think every time, for me. My boss has failed me at some point. And is it my boss's fault? No, you know. But it's a failure is my expectations were wrong. So it's not necessarily my boss's fault. But I had the wrong expectation. I placed my trust in a human. And boy, did that disappoint. You know, sometimes you do everything for that person. And that's a waste sometimes. Instead of doing everything for that person, do everything for God. Trust in God. Amen? Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So it's not even just about your bosses, but your leaders. You know, it doesn't matter who the king is. You know, we're seeing that a lot too. You're placing all your trust in this one leader. This leader will fix all our problems. That's what the Israelites were saying, right? The Messiah is going to fix all our problems here on earth. But that's not why Jesus came. So trust in God and God alone. The sooner we do that, oh boy, would life be a lot easier. Amen? Amen. Amen. So don't trust in me. I hope no one's trusting in me, because I'll fail you. If I haven't done so yet, I'll fail you today. So. And then he continues how there's victory. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarm around me like bees, but they are consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. So over and over again, it's in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. So even if you are being attacked, even if you're surrounded, you know, you trust in the name of the Lord. And it says here, I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Such beautiful words there. God helps. And then he goes back to Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song. The older translations say, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. If you have a newer NIV translation, you'll see that it says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. And scholars just love to debate. Right? So biblical scholars debate, well, that word, even though it's song, it could also mean strength. And doesn't it sound better to say, the Lord is my strength and my power? He has become my salvation. So that's why the NIV changed it from song to defense. I don't know, but I like song. The Lord is my song. Right? The reason to sing. The Lord is the reason that I sing. Isn't that a beautiful way to say, the Lord is my strength and my song? He has become my salvation. He's the one who saved me. All that to say, it doesn't matter if your Bible says defense or song, it's still beautiful. God is your strength. God is your power. God is your strong song. And may that be a reminder. You know, when you're facing a challenging time, just remember, it's not your strength, but the Lord is your strength. It's not your power, but the Lord is your power. And the reason why we sing is not because of me and I've done something amazing, but it's because the Lord has done something amazing. Amen? The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. So as a result, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. This is a military imagery. The tents is what the soldiers slept in. So in the tents of the righteous, shouts of joy and victory come. And the Lord's right hand, that symbolizes his power, has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. So it is the Lord who's doing all these things, and not you, and not me, and not us. It is the Lord. He has done mighty things. And when he does that, our response is a song. Amen? It's praise. That's our response when God does mighty things. And we just have to look to him. We just have to trust in him always. Don't trust in your own abilities. Don't trust in others' abilities. But trust in the Lord. And then he says, I will not die but live. Oh, isn't that pointing to Christ? I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me. The Lord has disciplined me. severely. Okay. Has anyone here been disciplined by the Lord severely? What does that mean to be disciplined by the Lord severely? That means God's got your attention. That means God is correcting you. He doesn't want you to go the wrong way, so he corrects you. And oh, it feels like punishment, doesn't it? When God just takes away everything. Oh, I see that you're not trusting in me, but you're trusting in your friend. Let's sever that relationship. Oh, I see that you're not trusting in me. You're trusting in all your money. Oh, I can take care of that. You know, and one by one, when God wants to get your attention, he just takes away everything that's important to you on earth. But God disciplines those whom he loves. Amen? So if God is disciplining you, that means God loves you. So if your life is just perfect right now, you need to watch out. Because why is that? Why is God not disciplining you? Are you that perfect? Or is there a reason why God is not paying attention to you? Do you know God? Is God your king? Are you following God? Because if you do, he will love you. And discipline as love, just ask any parent and they'll tell you that disciplining is love. If you let your children do whatever they want, that's not love. So God disciplines those who he loves. But yet, he has not given me over to death. So respond to God when he disciplines you. Pay attention to what God is doing in your life. Read the word and ask God, what are you doing? Amen? Open for me, this is the temple, open for me the gates of the righteous, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. I want to give thanks to the Lord. Open for me the gates of the righteous. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. So basically, those who belong to God will enter the gates. Those who belong to God will have a reason to give thanks to the Lord. And you give thanks because why? God answers you. He answers. So cry out to him. Talk to him. Pray. Keep asking because he answers. And he is good. And his love endures forever. And then it says here, and notice the pronouns change from me and I to plural. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We've seen this as a prophecy in Isaiah. Not that the stone that was rejected, but it says here, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. So Isaiah promised this, but interestingly, it's the stone that man rejected. It's a stone that the builders rejected, but that becomes a cornerstone. So pointing to Jesus. Jesus was rejected, and he becomes the cornerstone. Peter refers to this when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about living stones, he says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the rejected stone became the most important stone that we build on. And he says here that the Lord has done this. It is God who has done this. And verse 24 in the ESV says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The day of salvation is the day that he has made. Concerning this verse, James Montgomery Boyce said this, you must not stumble at God's grace in Jesus Christ, as many have, tripping over that stone. You should come to Jesus instead and build your life on that secure foundation. So build your life on that secure foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter is saying, and that's what this text is teaching us today. And as we build on this foundation, we need to continue to acknowledge our need for Jesus, our need for God, which is Hosanna. Lord, save us. And Lord, grant us success. This should be our daily prayer. Here it is in three different translations. Lord, save us. Save us, we pray, O Lord. That's in the ESV. I like that. Save us, we pray. So there's that heart attitude of prayer. It's not a command per se, but we're asking God to save us. Please, Lord, deliver is another translation. But we need God to save us. We need God to answer our prayers. And please grant us success. So blessing. Salvation and blessing go hand in hand. So Hosanna is what we cry out. Save us is what we cry out. So as we are saying, save us, let's also include our family members who don't know Jesus. Save us. Hosanna. Every time you hear that word, Hosanna, every time you sing that song, because we sang that song many times outside of Palm Sunday, right? We sing Hosanna a lot. Sometimes we forget the meaning of Hosanna. We just think Hosanna is just it's a praise word. No, Hosanna is a prayer to God saying, save us. Save us, we pray. Hosanna. Save us. Right? So as we sing Hosanna, pray for those who don't know Jesus. I have family members that I pray for. Pray for your neighbors who don't know Jesus. Let's pray for our community here in Beacon who don't know Jesus. So Hosanna is not just a selfish prayer, save me, but it's save us. So let's include our neighbors. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to praying through the cards that we collected today. We need to be praying for especially our loved ones. My wife and I, it's no secret. We've been praying for our children, and it just breaks our hearts, you grew up in a pastor's home, We prayed and we read the Bible. We did all kinds of devotionals. We tried. She tried. I supported her. But it breaks our hearts, But today's text is encouraging me and hopefully encourages all of us that when we cry out, Hosanna, we are praying for those who don't know Jesus as well. Amen. Because that's what matters most. It doesn't really matter if you live a comfortable life here on earth, if you live in a big house, little house. It doesn't matter where your zip code is, where you're on this side of the river, on the other side of the river. Does it really matter? What matters is, do you know Jesus? What matters is, who is your king? Is Jesus your king? Hosanna, save us, we pray. Hosanna, save us, we pray. And let's pray that prayer, amen? Hosanna. If you don't know what to pray, just shout out Hosanna. And he will answer. I said salvation and blessings come hand in hand. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in festal possessions up to the horns of the altar. Now that's, what is he talking about there? With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. I don't know, I scratched my head when I first saw that. That's when other translations are helpful too. So I don't have it up there, but in the ESV it says, bind the festal sacrifices with cords up to the horns of the altar. So is that helpful? No? Okay, it wasn't helpful for me either. So I did a little more digging. And here's what Alan Ross said. It says, although there is no mention of such practice in the Old Testament, the existence of the horns and need for securing the sacrifices in place makes perfectly good sense. Okay? So the bows is to tie things down, and the horns of the altar is what he's talking about. This interpretation would fit well the New Testament correlation with the arrest of Jesus to be taken to his sacrificial death. So even that verse 27 is pointing to what's to come. Now Jesus is the last song he sang before he died on the cross was this with his disciples. So imagine what he was thinking about as he was singing this song. And the response is, you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God. Personal. See how personal that is? You are my God. Can you say that about God? You are my God, and I'll praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Not because you are my mom's God, or my wife's God, or my friend's God, but you are my God. Can you say that? And if you can say that, then your response goes back to the last verse, which is the first verse, which is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Let's say that again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. So whatever happens, God is good. Whatever God does, God is good. And we thank him because he is good. We thank him because his love endures forever. And like I said earlier, the king has come. Not the king that we wanted, but the king that we need. Jesus came to not take power, but to lay down his power, to defeat sin and death, ultimately displaying his power on the cross. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in him. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for these words, and we thank you that you are good. Lord, we confess that there are times in our lives, when, especially when life is not easy, Lord God, we forget that you are good. We forget that your love endures forever. So we ask for your forgiveness, O God. Jesus, we thank you for demonstrating your goodness on the cross. And so, Lord, I pray that this song will be our battle cry, that this song will be our confession, that this song will never depart from our lips, that we will always sing this song, Lord God, that you are good and your love endures forever. Thank you that you are our strength and our song, and that you are our salvation. May we continue to praise you and worship you always. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.